We want to read the scripture, and it's the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Shall we stand as we read this scripture today? We thank God for opportunities to read the word, and our textbook in Parklands Baptist Church is just the Bible, the 66 books. Somebody asked me, Pastor Ambrose, why don't you have the book of Enoch? Why don't you talk about the book of Enoch? I just told them we have 66 books. But you can look for Enoch, read it, but the ones we preach for are the 66 books. Hallelujah. If you want to read Maccabees and Judith, just read them. They're in the, what we call the Apocrypha, but in this Bible, there are 66. Tell your neighbor, amen.
Amen.
So we're reading Acts, chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Then all the people saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is God's word, and God's people said,
amen.
Shall we be seated as we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, and we believe that this word is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully equipped, ready for every good work. So we thank you for the opening of this word. Let it be a light in our darkness. Let it be our strength in our times of weakness. Let it be the guide when we need that guidance. Holy Spirit, minister to your people, even as your servant speaks today, because we have prayed in Jesus' name, and God's people say,
amen.
Again, we want to invite those watching us online. We really appreciate you, those in the pavilion, and wherever you may be watching this message, even later, God richly bless you. We want to talk about empowered courage. This month, we've been talking about empowered obedience and how important it is to obey. There's a hymn we sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And sometimes we make obedience very difficult, but when you read the Bible, it has some very simple instructions. For example, pray without ceasing. Now that pray without ceasing, for you to obey, is just to pray without ceasing. It says just pray and keep on praying and keep on praying. It is your lifeline to God. Another simple instruction is this. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Obedience to that statement is simply meditate on this word day and night. Hallelujah. The other time I mentioned Pastor Simon, and I said another instruction in the Bible is those who believe in Jesus Christ need to get baptized by immersion. Hallelujah. Because the word baptize does mean to be immersed. It means to be soaked. Now, some churches sprinkle. That's okay. Others baptize you under the flag. Hello? That's okay. But the word baptize means to immerse. And so, Pastor Simon, after that instructions, quite a number of people obeyed. And we ended up baptizing nearly 100 people. More than 100 people. Pastor Kinity is just mentioning that. And that's just a step of obedience. And sometimes you may wonder, why do I need to get baptized? When I was baptized before, for example, I was baptized in the Anglican Church as a little child, and they sprinkled, the priest sprinkled, I was baptized. But when I grew up and gave my life to Jesus Christ, I found out the Bible is saying, those who believe and are baptized, you know, shall be saved. And so I wrestled with that because I had a religious mindset. But when I had now a believer's mindset, and I knew I did not just need to obey the religious things, which I had done. For example, in the Anglican Church, we have to memorize the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. At those days, we had no idea who Pontius Pilate is. But we did that because that was a religious upbringing. Now, some of you were not brought up in a religious upbringing in the Anglican Church. Some of you are Catholics, and we appreciate many of you who have attended Parklands Baptist Church and have a Catholic background. So that's religious. You found yourself in that particular church. Some of you are AIC, African Inland Church. Others are Methodists. Thank you, Jesus. Where you follow methods, and others, others are Quakers, and those who quake and shake, Friends Church. So people come from different environments because you found yourselves when you are born in the family in that environment. But as you grew and began to hear the word of God, hallelujah, God began to be the one to give you instruction. And so you began to obey the instructions of the kingdom. And that's what we have been talking about this month, that when God says something, obey it. The issue of giving, the reason why we were celebrating giving here, because the Bible says, bring to the house your tithes and your offerings. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So it is not another religious activity. We are not trying to give you Baptist activities. We are trying to give you the kingdom activities, because we don't preach Baptists, we preach the kingdom. Tell your neighbor, amen. Amen. And so that's what we have been talking about. And in the process of doing that, as we preach this word of God, and many of you begin to obey and believe, you know, doors have opened. When we talk about visas, there's nothing about visas in the Bible. That's not our parakeet doctrine. There are no visas in the Bible. The reason why we talk about visas is because God has said, go therefore into all the world and make disciples. And for you to go to Australia, you don't have to use your Kenyan ID. Tell your neighbor, amen. You need a passport. Hallelujah. And so we really believe that God is going to take you places. And for those who have come from Australia and they're going back there, may you go well. By the way, if you just need to go to Australia and you just need an anointing, you know, just as this family is standing by, just touch. That anointing may just flow into your life. Hallelujah. But don't overwhelm them after the service. Just tell them we are obeying Pastor Ambrose's instruction. So sometimes you do that. And sometimes, like I tell you, you know, a very simple act of faith can open a big door. One of the testimonies, some of the testimonies that have been coming, some of them I read in the early service. Let me read this one. It says, again, a testimony from the members who watch us and also those of you who sit here. It says this: together with my wife, we follow online services. Pastor Ambrose has been challenging people to get passports and apply for visas. At the beginning of the year, we followed up on my wife's visa application, which had remained dormant since COVID-19 started. We took a leap of faith and continued to search for an interview slot because most available positions were beyond July. Since I had a visa, I was selected to represent our Kenyan office in the USA at our sister's new office opening event. We continued to look for a slot, and in March, we managed to get an embassy appointment scheduled for April 19. My wife went for an interview and got a visa, and we traveled together. Yes, come on, give God a big hand. And we traveled together to the USA, went to Boston, sasa na Jeringa, went to Boston, Indianapolis, and Texas. And we are now back home in Kino. No, that one, I've just added that one. Okay, we have not come back home. We had such a wonderful time as a couple, a vacation we didn't plan for and partially paid for. We thank God for his blessing in our lives, and we trust him for the more open doors to travel to the United States, England, Scandinavia, territories, and Australia. I urge all not only to hear the word, but also to take steps of faith. Let's appreciate this member. We bless him in Jesus' name. And then I had one more. This one says, I lost my job in December last year, but thankfully I was compensated well as I was able to pay my rent. In the beginning of May, I was very anxious and stressed out because I hadn't secured a job yet, and I did not know from where to get money to settle my bills, seeing that June was fast approaching. One night, I had a dream. Pastor Simon, people write this. So one night, I had a dream. Pastor Simon was preaching. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Simon was preaching to a small crowd, and I was seated in that crowd listening, but not paying much attention. He faced me and spoke directly to me, saying, "You will receive financial help." He repeated the statement twice, and I said, "Amen." When I woke up, I asked God to direct me from where I'll get the finances. I text my uncle, whom I had not talked to for a while. This was the 4th of May, 2023. He stays in the US. I told him that I needed his help financially. He asked me, "How much are we talking?" Imagine. I said, 20,000 shillings. He asked me to verify my full name and phone number. He sent the cash a few days later. I paid my rent for June and July, and I paid off a debt I had at a local shop. Hallelujah. I was smiling the whole time when Reverend Ambrose was talking about how he asked for some money from his best man, and then he went on ahead to say, "God has a solution if you can only be still." Amen. So tell your neighbor, God is at work, and you are next. Amen. Amen. So Pastor Simon, amazing things are happening. And so in just today's message, because I want to make it a capsule of a word so that you can capture it, I'm talking about empowered courage. And I'm talking about the life of Peter and how on that day when he was going to the temple, he had so much courage. And Peter was not like that. That was not his personality. Of course, Peter is the person we always say when we are preaching. He was what we call forward. He was a forward person. You know what that means? Forward. Yeah, that one. Before he could think, he did things. But Peter had a side of him that was very timid. And that is why, Pastor Simon, you need to know the word Simon means a reed. It's a reed that is very flexible. It moves this way and that way, you know, in the marsh ground. So that's Simon. That's why then Jesus changed his name and says, "I will call you Peter." Now, Peter means a rock, something that is not swayed, something that is solid. And so Peter had these two things in his life. There were times it could be timid, but Jesus said, "Now from today, I'll call you Peter, because upon this rock, I'll build my church." God is looking for some stable men and women. Men and women who are very courageous. And so Peter finds himself in this situation where he got very timid and scared. Let me read those verses and then I'll come back to that story. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 68, that chapter is a very long one. Around verse 68, this is what the Bible says. Matthew 26, 68. It's a very interesting scripture about Peter when Jesus Christ was being crucified. All right, just go back a bit. Okay, go ahead, 69. This time they were beating up Jesus and all that. So verse 69 says this. Now, Peter is seeing Jesus being beaten up and all those kinds of things. He gets scared. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied it again with an oath, "I don't know that man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely, you're one of them. Your accent gives you away." Peter said, "Surely, surely, I don't know this man." Then he began to call down curses. Can you imagine? Peter is now, he's scared. He began to call down curses. He swore to them, "I don't know that man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. This is the Peter. Much later, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, Jesus wants to restore this guy. And so Jesus goes fishing, then he makes breakfast, and then he calls the disciples to the shore. And while they're taking breakfast, Jesus talks to Peter and said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus repeated the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter how many times you have failed Jesus. Jesus still will use you. I'm saying Jesus will still use you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Now remember, Jesus is being beaten. And Jesus had already told Peter, "You're going to deny me." Jesus says, "Mimi niwewe damu, nikondani, ndani, ndani." It's like somebody who is saying, "Mimi ni Kenya Kwanza." But akinua t-shirt, Azimio Juu. Hello. Peter is like that. And God has to use this gentleman. And Jesus has to do it three times, because Peter denied him how many times? Three times. And Jesus knows how to restore you. And you stumble and fall. And that's why when we talk about empowered courage, many times we deny Jesus at our workplace. You know, somebody's, you're having a celebration, a birthday, and your boss says, "Hey, we need a Christian here to pray for so-and-so for her birthday." And you know you're saved, but you will not stand up, because you don't want to stand out in that crowd. Maybe because of some of the things you've been doing. And now if you stand up and say, "Mazemi niko saved," ati nani? And so, you don't speak, you don't say anything. But let me tell you this, Jesus will still get you. And he can restore you, and he can use you, and he can, and that's what happened to Peter. Nobody can fail so much that God cannot use him. And I want to say this, this is your season. This is your time. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a prophet. You just be yourself and allow God to use you. And you don't have to brag, because sometimes as Christians, sometimes we go too far to the deep end in the marketplace. Go too far to the deep end. You know, you don't have to sambaza this thing too much. You know, when you're driving and your lights are on they're not on dim, they are on full lights. You know, the other guy cannot see you. So you, sometimes you have to put dim so that the other guy can see you. So sometimes, as Christians, we let our light shine too much. Hello? You're in the office, and you are a banker, but you have come with a big Bible. Basi mimi ni accountant wa Yesu. You're too loud. Sometimes you need to go on camouflage. Take the devil by surprise. Hallelujah. You're always hallelujahing in the corridors. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mungu ni mwema. Until some people get very uncomfortable. Just look at your neighbor and see if they have those signs. If they have those signs. And when they hear that you come from Parklands Baptist Church, they say that is one church not to go to. The Bible says, "Let you're the salt of the earth." You don't take a whole salt shaker and you have food and you dump it all of it where? In the food. You will not eat it. You sprinkle those things. There's a way you have to flavor the Christian life in the communities where you sit. Surprise people that you trust in God by doing excellent work at your workplace, by having integrity in your workplace, so that later the other ones will come to you and says, "You know, you remind me of a Christian. By the way, are you a Christian?" And that is the opportunity for you to be able to say, "Have I ever told you that this Jesus really loves me? And this is how I got to know him." Now, Peter has to now find up an opportunity to save himself. But let me tell you this. This happened because something happened to Peter inside. Many of us try to change our outside, and we don't change our inside. And that's what happened to Peter. Something happened in his inside. So that from being a fisherman, he became an apostle. From being a scared disciple, he became an amazing evangelist. And what happened? He saw Jesus risen from the dead. And the Bible says, if you believe, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be what? You shall be saved. And I believe, Pastor Simon, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. And now Jesus, who was outside the disciples, now entered into them. What was outside now came within them. They saw courage around them. Now when the Holy Spirit entered them, courage entered inside them. And you know when that happened, three things happen to you when you meet Jesus. Number one, your position is changed. Your position, you're now seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Your identity is changed. That's number two. You become a new creation, a brand new person. And number three, authority is given to you. And that's what happened to Peter. His position changed, his identity changed, and his authority changed. And that is why when he met this person at the gate, he says, "Look at us. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Empowered courage. And so these three things are things I want you to pick from this scripture today before we release you into the week. These are the following three things. Number one, the courage that speaks, the courage that lifts, and the courage that inspires. I've already talked about the courage that speaks. And so let me read those verses. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 4, Peter is looking at this gentleman and he says, Peter looked straight at him and as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." And you know when somebody says that, there's some courage inside them. Something has happened to them. They are carriers of something special. Let me say to somebody, you're a carrier of God's blessing. You are a carrier of God's goodness. Outside you may look very ordinary, but inside you are extraordinary. The Holy Spirit is inside you, ready to do exceeding and mighty things. And so Peter said, "Look at us." But this guy, what is he expecting? What is he expecting from Peter? He's expecting money. Remember, the guy has never walked since birth. Never walked. So that day, he didn't know that a miracle was going to happen to him. He didn't know when he left home that day his life was going to totally change. Some of you may have come home and many, many things have happened to you. And so you've woken up to another ordinary day. What you have no idea is that something extraordinary is about to happen to you. A shift is about to happen. and you're about to change. So this guy is sitting there, he's waiting for money. And so that's why the Bible says in verse 5, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver. And Pastor Simon, I always like reading that statement. Because remember, there are Peter and John, there are two of them. So he says, look at us. When you say us, there are two. So look at us. So to kwapa, mimi ni Peter, we ni John. Look at us. And then he says, silver or gold, I do not have. Now, why did he say I? Why did he say we do not have? Simple. You are not accountable to your neighbor's money. So tell your neighbor, amen. Amen. Your neighbor may be a millionaire. Thank you, Jesus. But if you don't have, you don't have. So he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do what? Walk. Ladies and gentlemen, God has given us something we can give the world. And it may not be in terms of material, it may not be in terms of money, but let me tell you this, we carry a gospel that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation, to anyone who has faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We have something we are carrying. We are carrying salvation. We are carrying the light of the world. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. When we went to enter into a situation which is dark, the moment we arrive there, light begins to shine. We are carrying wisdom. And sometimes we are in situations where people are racking their heads, just wondering, what, how will we get this solution? You arrive and God gives you enlightenment. And you release a word of wisdom. And something that was so difficult becomes simple. Don't look down on yourself. There is something amazing that you're carrying. Silver and gold you may not have, but you have Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Heavenly Father. You have something, and you can give it to the world that is waiting to receive. And that is why we are taking opportunities like going to Elgeyo Marakwet and engaging that place. We may not have all the material things that they need, but we have something special that we can deliver to that community. We have something special we can deliver to this country. We have something special we can deliver to this continent and to the world. I know when Pastor Simon and the team went to Cameroon, they carried something with them. And I believe, Pastor Simon, one of these days some of those Cameroonians are coming to visit with us. You know, because it is a give and take. We are going, there are going to be exchange opportunities. And that is why, let me tell you this, don't look down, look up, because God is going to use you in this season and in this time. Some of us are in very different platforms of life. Some of us are in places where you cannot utter the name of Jesus. Uttering the name of Jesus is an offense. And so rather than you just go mouth out Jesus, you can still give Jesus in other ways. Amen? There are so many ways. Jesus has so many variety of ways. For example, by the way, Pastor Simon, when Jesus met the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. So Jesus is a Jew, she's a Samaritan. So it is a no-go place. But Jesus used wisdom. Jesus did not come to her and says, hey, you know, I'm a Jew. You are a Samaritan. He did not start trapping. I'm a Jew. Samaritan. Samaritan. Jesus was amazing. Jesus said, woman, can you give me a drink of water? Jesus allowed her to be in a position of giving. And says, give me water. She opened her mouth and says, hey, I would like to do that, but you're a Jew. And then Jesus released curiosity to her and said, if you knew who is asking you for water, you'd ask him for living water and you'd thirst no more. The woman got curious and she says, hey, you don't have anything to use. Can you give me some of that water? And that's how the conversation went, until at the end, when the woman was asking, when the Messiah comes, we will believe in him. And that's when Jesus says, the one who is speaking to you is the Messiah. Jesus hitting the point at the right time. Jesus had something to give. Let me tell you this, you have something to give. Hallelujah. If you got an opportunity to go to State House and for His Excellency the President to give you a seat so that you could influence him, what would you say? Hallelujah. Especially if you lean towards me or side, what would you tell the president? You're a Christian from Parklands Baptist Church. How would you take it? How would you use it? Would you stand there and say, "Sasa nimepata opportunity"? God will still use you with that leaning, but He will use you in a way that you'll pass the point of the kingdom across. Are you listening to me? I'm equipping you so that as we scatter a 360 degrees, that you're going to go forth with wisdom and with knowledge, with understanding. Hallelujah. So you have something. But secondly, there's not only courage to speak, there's also courage to lift. Tell your neighbor, courage to lift. Let me read these verses in the New King James Version. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Even as we tie this message, are you receiving something? The Bible says this in the New King James. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then he did something. And he took him by the right hand and did what? Lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I'm talking to somebody and saying, there is courage to lift somebody. May God give you courage to do what? To lift someone. And here in Parklands Baptist Church, we try our best through the various ministries to be able not only to speak courageously, but to be able to have courage to lift people. Hallelujah. To lift you. Some of us come sometimes when we are so low, so down and out, we don't know what to do. Some of us, our financial issues have overwhelmed us. We are in the deep end. And sometimes even at as Parklands as a church, we find we cannot assist and help everybody. But one of the things we try is to train you to begin to believe God as your source. Amen? God is your source. If we can just connect that and connect the scripture that says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory," something will happen. Of course, we lift you a little in little ways. You know, we're able to hold your hand and lift you. And the Bible says here, it's amazing. He says, he took his hand and lifted him up, but then his ankles were strengthened. You see, we don't strengthen people's ankles. That is a supernatural power that comes from God. And so we will take a step and just lift you. But the moment we lift you, then God takes the other side and causes the lift to even become bigger. May God do that for you in Jesus' name. I'm saying may God do that for you in Jesus' name. You know, as I was thinking, Pastor Simon, I'm talking about lifting. You know, people, there are people who need to be lifted. Because here it says this. Look at the next verse. The Bible says in the next verse, because that will be my other point. So he leaping up, something happened to him. Remember, the guy has never walked. He leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them walking and leaping and praising God. Let me tell you this. It is so blessed to find a parent whose son or daughter has not talked since birth. Because there's a stage, there's a progressive steps of growth. A child is 1 year old, 2 year old, and sometimes even for us as parents, Pastor Simon, I don't know about you, our children did not speak quickly. For example, Caleb, our son, did not speak quickly. Why? Because Caleb, when he was a baby, liked to suck the thumb. Hallelujah. So always he was quiet, but kidole kwapi. Komdomo. So he's not talking. So time goes, he's not talking, and we're wondering, will he ever talk? Martha tried everything about this finger. Akaeka elastoplast, bado iko kwa mdomo. Put pilipili, pepe. Bade kokwa domo. This boy is not talking. And sometimes you begin to get worried. Will they talk? For those sometimes who have children who may be autistic and things like that, their development is not very fast. A mother gets worried and stranded, wondering, this child will never say that, baba, never say mama. But can you imagine a three-year-old, maybe the child is four-year-old, and out of the blue, the child just says, mama, baba. Can you imagine the joy of that parent? Because it is a leaping and a walking and a praising God. Because that is a lift that has never happened before. I am talking of that kind of lifting. I'm speaking of that kind of lifting to somebody. Where you're not getting increments in your salary, you're not doing anything, nothing has been done for you for years, they have not increased your salary for 5 years. Can you imagine that day they say they're going to increase your salary 2 times and backdate it 5 years? Ish. That is what is called a walking and a leaping and are praising God. It is a lift, and God is in business of doing those kinds of things. And sometimes we say, Pastor Ambrose, that has never happened. Which company is that? I would like to join it. I wish I knew which company that is. But our God is in the business of doing those kinds of things. This man has not walked. Now he's old. But he's jumping and shouting and celebrating. I went ahead and wrote 7 areas that God will lift you up. So let me then give them to you, and then I'll summarize the last part. Number one, there is a lifting of your heads in Jesus' name. God is going to lift your heads. Now let me give you that verse, Psalms 27, verse 6. Very quickly, I'm just going through that list. Psalms 27, verse 6. Then my head will be what? Will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. Put it in the New King James Version, please. NKJV. It says this, same scripture. And now my head shall be what? Shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Number two, a lifting of joy. Psalms 30, verse 5. The Bible says this, God is going to lift you out of sorrow into joy. It says this, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Somebody better give God a big hand and tell him, thank you, Jesus. Yes, that's a lifting, a lifting. Some of you have sorrowed for so long, and God is saying, I'm lifting you up into joy. Number three, there's a lifting of your health in Jesus' name. Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says this very quickly. About your health, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. There's a lifting of your health. Number four, a lifting of your resources. The Bible says this in Genesis 26, verse 12, very quickly about Isaac. There was a famine. He sowed in that season of famine. But then the Bible says this, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord did what? Blessed him. Now see what happened in verse 13. Then Isaac sowed in that, then the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. And see what happened. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. So that the Philistines did what? Now you want to be envied? May God prosper you. May there be a breakthrough for you in Jesus' name. A lifting in your resources. Come on, you better give God a big hand. Number five, a lifting of your breakthrough. A lifting of your breakthrough. I want to read this book, Micah. Maybe you've never read that verse. Micah, chapter 2, verse 13. Now let me read it in the New King James Version, then I'll read it in the Amplified. He says, the one who breaks open, we are talking about breakthrough. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them, with the Lord at their head. Now, I want to read this in the Amplified. You see how it sounds. It says this in the Amplified version. The breaker, the Messiah, who opens the way, shall go up before them, liberating them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out. So their king goes on before them, the Lord at their head. I like this because God is called the breaker. Go back to that first statement. The breaker, the Messiah. You need a breakthrough, let the breaker show up. You need a breakthrough, let the breaker show up. And he goes ahead of you. Let him go ahead of you at the embassy when you're getting a visa. Let the breaker go out when you're making negotiations. Thank you, Jesus. Let the breaker go out when you're about to make your first proposal to a girl. Hallelujah. You know how difficult that is? You're just about to just propose to this girl. Then you get the right ambience and the right atmosphere, and you're just ready, and you look at that lady, and you're just about to propose when the words disappear. And you say, my dear, you look like a camel. Then you're wondering, how did this camel come? You were not planning to say camel, but the word camel came out. May the breaker go ahead of you. Amen. Hallelujah. May he show you favor. Breakthrough. Then number 6, a lifting of favor. Genesis 39 verse 4, talking about Joseph. May you have that same lifting of favor. It says this, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. That's called favor. Amen? The next verse says this. From that time, he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Ladies and gentlemen, you need that kind of favor. May God give it to you. But number 7, it says, a lifting of your spiritual influence. Ephesians 2 verse 6. May God also give you spiritual influence, lifting you up to in those areas. It says this, Ephesians. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Then the next verse, it says, verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ. May God give you that spiritual influence. Tell your neighbor, there's a lifting. I'll tell the other neighbor, there's a lifting. Tell your neighbor, God is lifting me up. In Jesus' name. Amen. But finally, let me say this as I close. There was courage that inspires. And those are the verses I read in Acts chapter 3, verse 9. So let me read them again, because what God is going to do for you is going to inspire many people. Hallelujah. Your testimony is going to be amazing. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. May that be somebody's testimony. That people will look at you and wonder, what just happened to you? What just happened to your business? What just happened to your marriage? What just happened? They will look at it with amazement. You'll be an inspiration to many people. I'm saying you'll be an inspiration to many people. I'm saying you'll be an inspiration to many people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And sometimes your testimony may not be coming, but guess what? Something will ignite. Last Sunday, there's a lady who came to me. I said, Pastor Ambrose, please pray. I need a visa. I have already given all my documents, but I need to travel before Saturday, because the reason why I'm going to Europe is there's a function I have to do Saturday. So nothing has happened. I've been tracking my visa. It's not coming. And I said, I'll pray for you. So Sunday, with my anointing, thank you, Jesus, I just prayed for her. By the way, do you know that I have a direct line to God? I'm serious. And so do you. So do you. Thank you, Jesus. So do you. So I prayed for this lady and I said, in Jesus' name, we deliver the visa to you now. In Jesus' name. You shall go through. You shall go through. So Friday, she texts and says, Ambrose, I'm so worried. The visa has not come. And I need to be, I have the ticket, I have no visa, and I have to be in Europe Saturday. Now, if somebody texts you that, it is Friday, kuamkia, what do you tell them? Now, tell your neighbor, why do you keep stressing the pastors? They have already prayed. They have already believed. They have anointed you. Now you want a jerrycan on top of you. But thank you for doing that, because this lady pressed in. So this is what I wrote to her. I just said, Father God, thank you for accelerating the visa for this lady in Jesus' name. That Friday, I was very busy the whole day. So by Gioni, I text this lady to just say, how did the visa issue go? Now, I wrote that also with fear and trembling. Because what if she said, Ambrose, I'm still here? How would I feel? First of all, I'd feel very bad for her. I would also feel very bad for myself. So I'm also sending that at how did the visa issue go? And then Joni, tomorrow is Saturday. Thank God she wrote back and said, Pastor Ambrose, I'm in Addis Ababa. I'm on my way to Europe. You know, Pastor Simon, I just went, hey. Thank God. Let me say this. God will come through for you. I'm saying God will come through for you. Sometimes at the midnight hour. Sometimes at the 11th hour. And even if it takes the next day, he knows why. Amen? So why don't you stand up on your feet and let's give God a big hand and just tell him thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. And so may God give you courage to speak. May God give you courage that lifts. May God give you courage that inspires. I want to say to you that your testimony will inspire people. Amen. In a big way. Are you glad you have received the word?
Yes.
Now, while we are still standing, up your hands and let's give God a big hand and thank him. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God is taking Parklands Baptist Church to the next level. And then tell them, that means you. Amen. Yes. Next Wednesday, I'll be flying out to the U.S. So I have been invited to speak in a conference where I will be. Together with Martha. Currently, Martha is in the UK. We shall be connecting at Heathrow as we continue that journey. Tell your neighbor, don't be envious. But we want to take time to really appreciate the church for their support, even as we make that journey. Part of it is to go preach in that conference. The other part is for us from Virginia, where the conference is, we shall go to Texas, where our daughter is, Lisa. And we'll have some time with her. Then some members of Parklands who are in Phoenix, Arizona, have invited us to Phoenix. So we'll be ending up in Phoenix and then coming back to Dallas. And then from Dallas, we'll be able to fly back to Jomo Kenyatta. Then we'll come to Parklands and then reach Kangemi. And we'll have just gone a whole route. So keep us in prayer. Bwana asifiwe. And we just want to say that God, even as we finish this month, that empowered obedience will be your portion.
Amen.
That the God who encourages you will encourage you.
Amen.
That you shall be an encouragement to somebody. Courage that speaks, courage that lifts, courage that inspires. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so, so much. Sometimes we fail to have words to tell you how we feel. And I can imagine this guy who was crippled since birth, suddenly having total ability to stand up, to leap up, to walk and to praise God. Lord, may we have that testimony. Whether it is in our careers, whether it is in our businesses, whether it is in our families, whether it is in our academics, whether it is in our pursuit of knowledge, whether it is in government, wherever it is, give us a testimony where we shall be walking, leaping, and praising God. Because, Father, there is a lifting. In the spiritual realm, there is a lifting. And we want to say thank you that, hey, enable us to speak, enable us to lift somebody, enable us to inspire. And Father, we thank you. Lord, again, we appreciate the Mwangangi family that came for that memorial of their father. We bless them. And even for those among them who shall be traveling, may you bless their journey. And many others among us, like we have already said, doors are opening for them to travel, to go and to come back. And those who are out there, they will also come into Kenya and come back to where they have come from. We want to celebrate those opportunities. And Father, all the glory goes back to you. Again, Lord, may you fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we know that our position has changed. Lord, our identity has changed. And our authority has changed. And that is what gives us mandate to go out and tell somebody, look at us. Silver and gold I may not have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. May that be somebody's testimony. So we thank you for hearing our prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, if you believe what I've said, you better say, I receive it. I take it. It is my portion. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Now let's appreciate Jehovah and just tell him, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Just to remind us, we still have these booklets in the bookshop. Find a copy for yourself and be able to encourage somebody out there. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Now put your hands up as I bless us. Up, up, up. Thank you. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord bless you when you come in, bless you when you go out. I declare to you that your Monday is blessed. Your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. And your Saturday is blessed. Sunday, you're coming back with a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I bless you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You're going to have an amazing week.
Amen.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom.